Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
It's Fire Away Friday. Fire Away Friday. On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword. Exploring the Word. It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
Well, we've been in the book of Nehemiah, but on Fridays we step away just momentarily from the book study that we're in and we take questions, all questions for all of the hour. Welcome to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert here. So honored that you're listening. And we'll resume Nehemiah on Monday, but right now here is the number, toll-free, nationwide, wherever you are. We would love to get a call from you with your Bible question. It's 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Every day of the week is special on Exploring the Word. But Bert and I love Fireway Friday. It's unscripted. We don't know what the questions are going to be, but we will do our best to give you a biblical answer. And if you call now, you will get in. The lines are open, and we'd love to hear what's on your mind as together we discuss the Word of God. Bert, we love Fireway Friday, don't we?
Yeah, we take questions regardless of us, your presidential candidates, whether they do or not. I'm sorry. I just couldn't resist that the way that was set up. Yeah, I know. I keep a low profile, but I have big opinions on issues, Alex. But that is that we do take questions, and we love those questions. And some of those questions really challenge us, and we love that. But, Alex, real quickly, because I need to get this in at least two times during this program. This is Friday, and it's the last day of National Truth for Youth Bible Week. Mm. And we want you to call in or go online and order a Bible if your youth will promise to give it to a friend in their school. You can do one per youth student in your home, and I hope that you will do that. And that number is 844-530-8890, 844-530-8890, or you can go online at tfy.org. That's tfy.org. I wanted to get that number in because we're going to need to give another number that you can call in and get our to ask the question. So two numbers right today, so don't get them mixed up. One more right time. The Get Those Bibles, Truth for Youth, 844-530-8890, Alex.
Amen. You know, you joked earlier about the press conferences or lack thereof. We will take questions. We'll take any and all question. And generally, you know, we don't really digress a lot into politics on this show, but I did get something this morning from an Exploring the Word listener, probably listening right now, David in Texas, sent me this, and I thought it was interesting, and I'm just reading this. If somebody says, as a Christian, how can you vote for Donald Trump? I respond, I'm not voting for Donald Trump. I'm voting for First Amendment freedom of speech. I'm voting for the rights of the unborn to live. I'm voting for the peace process in the Middle East. I'm voting for freedom of religion and standing with Israel. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I thought about that, and part of the reason I'm sharing this is, here's one. It says, I'm voting for the Electoral College to be preserved and for the republic in which we live. Folks, please be in prayer for this upcoming election. And we know our trust is not in a man or the things of this world. Our trust is in the Lord. But, you know, we've said it many times. As a pastor, I've been on mission trips. God has helped me raise money for mission trips. Look, you could do evangelism chained to the wall of a cell. You could look over at your fellow inmates and say, John 3:16, but to do missions, as our nation has been at the forefront of world missions for two centuries, you need stability, prosperity, and liberty. And so, Bert, I really think we're right in the will of God to be praying for this nation, to be voting, as the Robertsons would say, to vote godly. And
Amen.
That's not as godly not as hard you, to figure
as
out.
As godly as you can, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes we have to, okay, which of these two candidates? And it's not hard these days. When you look at the platform, when you look what they stand for, if you're I'll just say this. If you've got a biblical worldview, there's no question. If you just want the survival of America as a free democratic republic, I don't think it's hard either, Alex. We're not trying to promote. We're saying vote, and we say do it, and do it as godly as you can.
David in Texas, thank you for sending that in. The number for questions, if you've got Bible questions, 888-589-8840. And Bert, where shall we begin?
Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Ambrose. Ambrose, thank you for calling.
Bert and Alex, God bless you and American Family Radio and the ministry you guys have. It is touching me and my family and the lives of so many people.
Amen. Well, listen, Ambrose, it has touched our lives and the listeners and supporters and prayer warriors that pray for American Family Radio, American Family Association, and those of us who are privileged to work with them. We receive those prayers, and we thank God for you guys as well, don't we, Alex?
We sure do. We sure do. I mean, it really, you know, I had been saved and in ministry for a lot of years, and then in 2009, Jim Stanley and Tim Wildman came into our life. Little did I know, the most rewarding, most special years of ministry ever, and I know Angie would concur, when we began to be a part of the American Family Association, it opened up the most fruitful years of ministry that we could have imagined. And Ambrose, thank you, and we give God the glory. I do feel like it is a family, don't you, Bert?
It is, and we named it correctly. Right in the middle of everything is family. So, Ambrose, thank you for calling. What's your question, brother?
I'm going to try and articulate this the best I can. I go to church, a Southern Baptist church here in the Mississippi Delta, and almost, if not more than half of our churches do not have pastors. We've talked to seminaries, and they say, hey, we're downstream of the churches and of the families. So I know that God's word says to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send workers into the field. What is y'all's take on this? Are we in the middle of the great apostasy, or what's going on? Why are there not enough pastors out there?
Okay, let me just tell you an experience real quickly that I had, and this was it was at least 20 years ago. You're talking about Southern Baptist here in Mississippi. I am one of them, and I was on a team that gave scholarship money to ministers who were preparing for ministry in our three colleges. That's Blue Mountain, that's William Carey, and Mississippi College. And the first year I was there, we gave out 360-something different scholarships the first year. I was serving 6 years. At the sixth year, it was down to close to 250, Alex. So this drop in number of individuals, men, that are saying this is where we God's calling us has dropped, and it's dropped tremendously. Now, here's the issue, Ambrose. I don't know exactly why or why not, but I do know we don't drop the guidelines that God's given us. Alex, take it away, and if you have anything else to say, I'll add to it later.
Yeah, you know, I thought about that just as you were calling in. You know, Luke 10, verse 2, Jesus said, "The harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest." And that's also in Matthew 9:38. But Bert and Ambrose, let me say this. We really do need to pray, because this is kind of a chronic problem across America. It is estimated that at least 1 out of 5 churches doesn't have a senior pastor. And let me say this, too, and I want to say this to all the young people. And, Bert, over the summer in our camps, I've shared this with many an audience. The call to ministry, many people have a call to full-time ministry. But I say this to the young men. Some of you, by gifting and by calling, you have a call to pastor a church, to be the senior pastor of a church. It is a wonderful call. It is a noble thing. And, you know, it requires commitment and preparation. A call to preach is a call to prepare. But I just want to say, Ambrose, we need to pray, just as the Bible says, that God will raise up laborers. But to everybody out there, and I want to say this also to some of you men that you love the Lord, and maybe you've been in a career, and you might, Bert, I've helped in the ordination of a few men. It was their second career. They finished up, they retired, some in military or law enforcement that retire relatively at a young age. But I helped in the ordination of a man that was 74 years old and entered the pastorate at 74. Praise God. So your point is well taken. Our churches need shepherds. And dear listener, that senior pastor in the making, it might actually be you. So don't rule that out, no matter where you are in life's journey.
Let me share one more thing, and I'm not hesitant to share it, but there used to be what they call the circuit riding preachers, and they would go from one church to another church. Now, that was in the days when it was difficult, horseback. Some of the churches may have to learn to alternate some of the things and share a man of God to churches. And one, I know this happens, one will have Sunday school early and then the preaching later, and they're close by, so the pastor can leave one and go to the other. And so, Ambrose, be creative. I'd rather have a God-called preacher as just somebody makeshift. But I think the layman, some of those of you who are laymen that are ready, be open to what God calls you to do. And be that man that God wants. Ambrose, we're going to pray about that right now. Father, amen. I pray that you would send those laborers into the harvest. Yes. Not only pastors, there's a lot of men, and men have had difficult circumstances shared with them about churches and them being kind of difficult and hard. Father, I pray churches would become a place of so much cooperation for the biblical worldview, that they unite in Jesus Christ, knowing him and the mission that we're on and the priorities that we have in teaching the Word of God. And I pray these churches would be so warm and ready that when those men that you've called walk into it, it will be a ready-made place for evangelism, for discipleships and mission. In Jesus' name, amen. Ambrose, amen. Thank you for that call, brother. Let's go to Kentucky and talk to Jason. Jason, thank you.
Hey, guys. Wonderful to talk to you.
Yes, sir, brother. Go right ahead.
Yes, I wanted to get your y'all's thoughts on the rapture when it says we'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye. If you guys think that would be physical bodies changed in a twinkling of an eye, or if a soul going up and be given a new body.
Okay, Alex. It says we're going to have a body like unto his resurrection body. I've always thought it's taking place right there when we get caught up with him. What about you?
Well, yeah, you know what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:53, he says, this mortal will put on immortality. And we've got a break. I hear that music. Let's come back and talk about that. But we're going to be just transformed. And I'm going to quote Matthew 17 a little bit when we come back. May we pick up on this after the break, Bert?
Yeah, we can. And again, this is a great time for you to call in. We're going to get to as many calls as we can. So hang on. We're going to get to your call here on Exploring the Word. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Amen. Listen, that is the heart of worship. He's the centerpiece. He's the headstone. He is the foundation of the church. It's Jesus Christ. And we're praying this weekend, this Sunday. Some people go on Saturday because they have multiple services, that you'll make your way to a church that loves the Lord Jesus, loves His Word, preaches His Word, and just worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's our desire for you. Alex, listen. To get together with God's people on a Sunday morning, resurrection morning, and just celebrate who He is, what He's done, where He is, and what He's going to do one day. Brother, that's real worship, isn't it?
Well, it really is, and what a joy it is to be in the family of God. And, you know, I love the fact that all ages, you know, when we get together for corporate worship, in some churches, and I don't want to get us off track, but I have to say this. There's a tendency in some of the larger churches to Sunday morning worship. The youth are in one place, and the, you know, different demographics, young adults, singles. I think it's important to corporately worship all ages, all people. At least one service a week in your church should be the whole body of Christ all together, not segmented apart, but together corporately worship. Because, Bert, when I read about every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation singing praise to the Lamb, that's the collective body of Christ, isn't it?
Amen. And when you do that, you're going to have to show humility. Oh, I don't like that kind of music. Oh, I don't like that hymn. No, I want to tell you, real worship, I'm preaching, Alex, brings humility. You know, it's not all about what I prefer or what I think. And what I do and what you do, you travel quite a bit. I go to different churches and preach quite a bit to churches that do straight hymns, those that do this. I want to just tell you, if they worship the Lord Jesus Christ, if they just got a piano, if they just have a harmonica, if they got a full orchestra, if they have a band, I just want to tell you, I worship the Lord Jesus Christ if they're worshiping him. So let's develop Amen. That. You don't have to be, you know, haughty about it and say, oh, you know, I would like mine. I have preference. Well, listen, my preference is the Lord Jesus Christ and making much of him. Alex, we're on our soapboxes today. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, we are blessed with callers.
We are. Let's go to you're finishing up. We need to do it real quickly about the rapture that Jason asked about. Could you do that real quickly?
Yes, I think just like when Peter, James, and John were with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17, and Jesus pulled back the veil of his humanity, and the explosive brightness of his deity and glory was there, and Moses and Elijah were there, and it was so instantaneous, Peter, James, and John didn't even know it. I think that's how it's going to be. We're going to instantly be with the Lord. Get that glorified body, like the 1 Corinthians 15:53 I mentioned. This mortal will put on immortality. And I think it's going to be, like the Bible says, in the blink of an eye, really, really quickly, isn't it?
It really is. Hey, Jason, thank you, brother. The main thing, be ready for when it occurs. Trust Jesus. If you don't know him, trust him now. Trust him now. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Jim. Jim, thank you for calling.
Oh, my. Thank you, God, for being so good to me. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Here's what I got to say. A while ago, Trump is not the best guy. He's not. But his policies, and I need to find where I can get a list of the things that he's for. I know I've got about 10, but there must be 100. If I can find where to go, Alex, if you'll tell me, I sure would appreciate it.
Well, I'm going to forward to Brent the thing that one of the listeners sent me from Texas, and I don't know. I'll have to see if I can post it, but it's about 15 or 20 of the policy positions. And, you know, I heard, because I was at the RNC 3 weeks ago, but yeah, folks, remember in any election, and I got this from Norm Geisler, genius. If ever there was a godly, brilliant, stick to the Bible theologian, it was Norm Geisler, and he died in 2019. But he and I were talking about the 2016 election. And look, clearly, with the first Trump administration, you know what you got. Secure border, stability in the Middle East, better economy, pro-life judges on the Supreme Court. I mean, Trump and his policies are not an untested commodity. We had America was great, and in just under 4 years since 2020, we've watched America just nearly implode. But here's what Norm Geisler said. He said, look, even if the ticket were Billy Graham and Mother Teresa, he said, when you're voting for humans, it is always the lesser of two evils because you've got two sinners on the ballot. But look at the policies. And folks, if you're a born-again believer, it doesn't take a lot of heavy lifting to figure out what policies are godly and constitutional and what policies are ungodly, immoral, and frankly, Marxist. And so I'm going to send Brent this thing that David in Texas submitted. I don't know if we can post it, but if we can, maybe we will. But pray for this election. It's not an overstatement. The future America that will outlast all of us is going to be decided in just a few weeks.
Amen. Thank you, Jim. Thank you. And Alex, thank you. Let's go to Texas and talk to Steve. Steve, thank you for calling.
Hi, I called you some months back about this subject, and it is a very short testimony, probably my best. On why I'm a believer, and that has to do with some of the interpretations of what God the Father, the hallowed name is. I am that I am, or I am what I am. To me, when I studied medicine and so forth, it just sounded like immunity. What is immunity? Also, what is genetics, which implies that, you know, how we're determined in the beginning if we didn't live in a fallen world with fallen bodies, you know, that there's two genders. And so that's my comment. Maybe I'll leave it there. I had a question. I'll save that for another day. So thank you very much. I love you guys. I'll continue listening as I almost do daily whenever I have a chance. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Love
God
you guys.
Bless
Bye-bye.
You.
Amen,
Thank
Steve.
You, Steve.
Hey, listen, I am that I am. He is. He was not. I was or I will be. He's the ever-present God. And, Alex, the Bible talks about that. And I'm reading right now I'm reading through the Bible this year, and Old Testament, New Testament during that period of time, and some of Psalms. And I was in Isaiah today, and I just want to tell you, I worship the Lord as Isaiah started prophesying about the wonderful counselor, you know, who he is, this almighty God, this everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Alex, that's who he is. And all of us, those of you that are preachers, those that are small group leaders, I don't care what else you do. You make much of Jesus. That's what you do.
Amen.
And then when you make much of Jesus, I want to tell you, you go to his teaching, is what he said about life, what he said about salvation. I want to tell you, it will bring a biblical worldview to marriage, to identity, to everything, limitations, to everything. Make much of Jesus. Steve, thank you. Okay, that number, we've got some lines open. We're going to try to get to them. It's 888-589-8840. Let's go back to Texas and talk to Rhonda. Rhonda, thank you for calling.
Thank you. The reason I called, I got my chapter wrong, but in Isaiah 59, I believe, it talks about when the Jews' eyes are opened at the end, you know, toward the end days, and that they worship the Lord Jesus. And there's also a verse that talks about they will forevermore be saved. And the way it's worded, it's confusing to me because it almost sounds like through the millennial, if all the Jews that live and progress through the millennium reign, the Jews are guaranteed that they will all be saved. Where the Gentiles, when Satan is left loose, they won't all be saved. So am I confused in my interpretation?
Okay. Thank you, Rhonda. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Reading through Isaiah, I love it. And let me just say one or two things. What Isaiah does, and you have to stay with him. I think you can enjoy it just for the poetry, to be honest, you could. But he will go from the first coming to the second coming to the heaven to the thousand-year reign. It's hard sometimes to know which one he's in. Alex, go ahead. I'm just being as honest. Did you figure out where she's talking about in Isaiah?
Well, yeah, and what Paul is doing, Paul quotes this in Romans 11:26, and it's a quote from Isaiah 59:20-21. Now, in Isaiah 59, which, by the way, was written about 750 years before the birth of Christ, but Isaiah says, "And the Redeemer," capital R, and that's Jesus, "the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord, as for me, this is my covenant with them. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I've put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, says the Lord, forever." Now, in Romans 11, Paul is talking about the restoration of Israel. He says, "I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, as all Israel shall be saved." He quotes Isaiah 59 in Romans 11:26. Now, let me say this. I do not believe this is universalism, that merely because someone is an ethnic Jew that they are automatically born again. Because, you know, we have ample scriptures that say you must repent, you must believe. And even if you go back to Isaiah 59:20, the Redeemer comes to Zion and gives this redemption unto them that shall turn from transgression. So the necessity of repentance and obviously belief is alluded to there in the Isaiah 59:20. Bert, a lot of people have thought, well, and Zechariah talks about when Jesus comes back, and they will mourn and wail as one mourns the death of an only son. All the Jews, there will be a day when the living Israelites will, in their land, believe in Jesus. They will, the full realization of the Abrahamic covenant, that Jews will occupy their land in a state of national belief. But still, all the previous Jews or Gentiles that died in a state of unbelief, they were lost. As I understand it, I don't think we should construe this to mean that Jews automatically go to heaven whether or not they believe in Messiah.
No. You have too many Jews that God's already said they did not. Why would God change that opinion? We're saved by grace through faith. That's from Genesis to Revelation. So
certainly Caiaphas the high priest was not a believer.
That's exactly right. Judas Iscariot, who was a Jew, you know?
Yeah.
So here, Rhonda, thank you for that. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Eugene. Eugene, thank you for calling.
8 hours, Corey. That's like going abnormal again.
Okay, is you ready? Are you there, Eugene?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead, man.
Yeah, I was calling to find out the best scriptures to give somebody for repentance and overcoming addictions.
Okay, thank you for that great call. I want to give you one that I love. It's one that I've shared, pastoring as long as I did. I had to deal with a lot of people who were struggling looking at this. Listen to this. It's Galatians 5:1. Now, you got to listen carefully and study. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage, whatever it is, an addiction, it could be alcohol, pornography, drugs, whatever it is, you have to untangle yourself. You may have to have some help doing it, but they can. And what do? You stand fast in what? The liberty. He who has set you free, you're free indeed. You don't have to be that. You can be more than a conqueror. You can be an overcomer in Christ. But you got to start first by being untangled with that you got. So you got to put it aside. Alex, go ahead and throw yours in if you would, brother.
Well, Eugene, God bless you. I feel very privileged you would call and speak with us about this. And you're right on the money about Scripture. Because here's the thing. Behaviors flow out of beliefs. And when you fill your mind with the right beliefs, the Spirit of God will use that to give ultimately right behavior. Here's a verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful. Let me go back. It says, no temptation has come upon you except that which is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able to bear, but will with every temptation make a way of escape so that you can endure it or
Amen.
Bear it.
Amen.
Call out to God. You can do this in His strength, whatever that addiction might be. God will give you the power to resist it.
Galatians 5:1, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Claim those verses.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at afr.net.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to healthcare, and that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month with MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true that people wind up way more satisfied, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. That's because MediShare works. It has for more than 30 years. It's a community of Christians who have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth. They love the huge PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price in 2 minutes. Here's the number. Just call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Instead of buying diapers from companies who give your hard-earned money to organizations that want to kill innocent image bearers, consider EveryLife. EveryLife provides high-quality, affordable diapers and wipes centered around the belief that every child is a gift from above that deserves to be loved, protected, and celebrated every day. Additionally, EveryLife offers the Buy for a Cause program that allows people to donate a month's supply of diapers and wipes to young, struggling families. In addition to selling diapers, EveryLife wants to use its business to cultivate a culture of life. Go to EveryLife.com for more information.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
In the Salvation Army Band, playing this hymn, and your grace rings out so deep, it makes my resistance seem so thin. So hold me, Jesus, cause I'm shaking like.
And welcome back to Exploring the Words, Fire Away Friday. As I say on Facebook all the time, happy Fire Away Friday. You are listening to Exploring the Word with Bert and Alex, and sometimes Brent. And I have the question of the week. And first of all, I want to say thank you all so much for your faithfulness to this show.
Amen. How many? Amen. You know how many followers we got on Facebook?
We are at 9,258. And, when I checked about 5 minutes ago,
and growing,
it could be 260 by now. I hope it is.
Okay, we kind of got a simple question, but it's a good question. So we're going to answer it and then get to the phone lines. What is it?
It is a simple question. It's from Leanne. Who wrote Hebrews?
We don't know.
Now, Alex, next question.
Alex, I knew what the question was, so I knew what my answer was going to be. But honestly, anybody that says anything, it's going to be a speculation, but we have some strong hints, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We do. And there are, I think it's the Apostle Paul. I really do. In the early church, the leaders in the early church for the first 300 years thought that it was Paul. And as we went through, there are so many verses that really, really sound like the Apostle Paul, you know. But ultimately, who wrote Hebrews? Like all of the Bible, the Holy Spirit. Now, who was the human penman? We don't actually know for sure, do we, Bert?
We do not, but whoever it was, man, he knew the Old Testament, and he applied it to those individuals that were looking at going back into Judaism, and he is saying, no, Jesus is so much better. And we got a call this week about a group of people that this guy was worshiping with, and they thought it was neat for them to be like it was more holy to go back and worship on the Sabbath and keep all those. Listen, it's good to know all that. It's good to do that. But I want to tell you, Jesus is the best. All of those in the Old Testament, the feast, all of those was a picture of who Jesus Christ is. And so let's stay with Jesus. Thank you so much for that question. Let's go to Georgia and talk to Tom. Tom, thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my question. Can I make a quick comment about praying for the politicians and still have time to ask my question?
Go right ahead. Make it quickly. We want to get as many calls as we can, but we appreciate it, man. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's
this is a chance to put God in the game and let him show what he can do. I'm saying this to myself mostly. Let's don't leave him sitting on the bench and think, well, he's not, don't put him in. He can't do a good job, or whatever you want to look at it. Wait, I picture God as it is kind of like a last resort. Let's put him in and give him a chance to show that he's the real star of our team.
Amen. He should be the first one, shouldn't he, Tom? Not the last. Great word. Yeah, amen. Go ahead with your question, brother.
Okay. My question is, you are talking about churches without preachers, pastors, and such. Can you say a little bit about if the old-fashioned Pioneer Day Union Church, where, you know, with churches, all the Christians in the area might meet together and have a different denomination's preacher each week? And I've heard about Christians cooperating a lot more on the mission field than in the United States. And I was just wondering if you think some of their techniques would help the churches that are having trouble having ministers here.
Tom, to answer your last question, I do exploring the missions with my son, Nathan. And Nathan is close to a missionology. I'm not. He studies that. And if you can listen to Exploring Missions on the weekend, I think it will bless you. But listen, he said, we are learning a lot from other nations concerning missions, and that's one of them. Let me just say this about in the early church, especially when you read through the book of Corinthians, Paul talked about it seeming like they had a different Bible teacher that would lead. Now, I know they were more house churches, but a different one would do it each time. But yet at the same time, you had elders that had that position. So, Alex, there's kind of different ways of doing it when you look at the New Testament models. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, Tom makes a great point that on the mission field, you know, sometimes we used to use the term pioneer mission. There's a whole lot of collaboration and cooperation, because my goodness, there's just no time to nitpick things, you know. Do you remember that old saying that those that are rowing the boat don't have time to rock the boat? Which actually, that was a saying by Benjamin Franklin. But, you know, I wish every church had a good pastor. But we're in some times where in America, the Christian church doesn't quite have the home court advantage like we once did. But maybe this is an opportunity to see that we need each other.
Amen.
Every friend of Jesus should be a friend of ours, because we need each other.
I want to just tell you, I'm going to go back and get on my soapbox again. Every church, do your best to make your church as caring and loving as you can. Now, if you need two models in the New Testament, let me give you my two favorite, Alex. The church at Antioch that sent out Paul and Barnabas and then Silas, and then the church at Philippi. Paul said, no church has communicated with the gospel helping me like you guys. I'm putting it in my paraphrase. But Alex, let's make Exploring the Word challenging churches to be that kind of church. I don't care the denomination, Southern Baptist, Methodist Church. If you believe the Bible, let's be that caring place, that biblical place. And when I say caring, it doesn't mean you soften truth. You speak the truth courageously, but you preach it in love. Hey, I'm preaching too much today. Let's go to Frank in Missouri. Frank, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. The question is this. I've got a couple in my church who are married, active in the church and praise band and, you know, helping kids and things like that. They were both previously divorced. In what they've described as not the greatest circumstances for their divorces, and now are married to one another. I believe them to be Christian couples, have said they repented from things in the past, but they were told by, unfortunately, someone in our church that since they were married, they would always be committing adultery according to the Bible and would, well, basically, we're told that they would be going to hell if in their marriage they had intercourse.
So, okay, Frank, listen, thank you, brother, for calling. Alex and I, we talk about this quite a bit. The marriage that a person is in is the marriage God wants to work. Now, they may have to go back, Alex, you know, and get forgiveness, and they may need to observe what they did wrong and not blame it all on the person that they left, you know, like we do sometimes, the blame game. The marriage you're in is the when the God wants to work, and God can forgive, and he can set our path straight, can't he?
He can. I mean, he takes us where we are as we are. I want to read Matthew 19, verse 9. Jesus said this. I mean, this is from Christ himself. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. But the good news is God, the Lord Jesus, can forgive anyone. And Bert hit the nail on the head. I've had couples say, well, we're going to go back and try to undo this. No, the marriage you're in is the one God wants to work. And so be committed. And one of the best ways to solve a problem is to make decisions so the problem never happens, right?
Amen. Do it. Hey, listen, all of the young people that are listening, let God lead you in your spouse, and then be the kind of individual that, and you serve them as best you can. Marriage is hard work. Let's just put it there. Yeah. And you get in there and you do it. So let's make the marriages we're in, give them to God and let him demonstrate his power through them. Thank you, Frank. We hope that helps. Let's go to Kentucky and talk to Steve. Steve, thank you for calling.
Yeah, hey, Bert and Alex. Thank you for taking my call. It was interesting. You were reading through Isaiah, and so am I. I wasn't because you were. I didn't know you were.
Yeah.
I got as far as Isaiah 10. And yeah, the messianic prophecies just really jump out at you and are flashing in neon green. But the material in between that is, I don't understand it. I don't understand a lot of it.
Okay, I'm laughing. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at me. Man, I have to double down. I'm reading it, and all of a sudden, we go from one, Alex, I mean it. It's kind of like, okay, I got to make a 180-degree turn here. So you read it, and just know that he is speaking a lot to the people who are there. They're in turmoil. The nations around them are coming up on them, and he's saying, you got to trust in me. And then the next moment, he'll say, a sign's going to be given to you. A virgin's going to conceive. And so, Alex, Isaiah can really cause you to scratch your head. Now, who's he talking to now? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Isaiah is a beautiful book. Oh, my goodness, especially like if you read about like chapter 46 to the end, Isaiah 66, like the last, you know, 19 or 20 chapters are full of a lot about, clearly you'll see Jesus, the Messiah, the coming Prince of Peace. But I mean, there's a lot in there that's very complicated. Prophecies against Judah and Jerusalem, prophecies against nations and Moab and Damascus and Babylon and Ethiopia. And then there are from 24 to really about 28, there's a lot about what I believe is the Great Tribulation ultimately coming. So context means a lot, doesn't it, Bert? If he's condemning, you know, Egypt and Arabia, that's not necessarily talking about Gentiles throughout world history. So Isaiah, you'll benefit from a good commentary.
You really will. Let me just say one more thing. When you get to something and it's telling you who they're talking to, underline that, highlight that, and then stay with that until it switches over and say, now I'm going to and notice that, and that will help you, Steve. Now, again, it is difficult in some areas. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Jeremy. Jeremy, thank you for calling.
Hello. It's been a while since I've talked with you guys. My point was about the need for revival. I mean, it's clear revival is needed in all sections of society at this point. But I believe that revival comes from a sudden, urgent realization of your need for God. When people realize their sin, when they realize their need for repentance, that's when they turn to God, and that's when they start asking God to forgive their sins.
Without repentance, the relationship is going to be strained. If I slapped you in the face every time I see you and then asked you for a loan, what's likely to happen? Or that relationship is not going to be there well enough for me to ask you for anything. Every time we sin, it's a slap in the face to God. And yet we don't repent enough. We don't ask others to repent enough. We say, repent of your sins and become saved, and then we leave it there. Because of that, there's not a lot of people that are continually repenting to the point where they're having the relationship they need with God.
Well, Jeremy, let me, real quickly, time fleeds by, but let me just tell you, when we read about the seven churches that you find there in Revelation, there in Asia, Alex, you'll find the word remember how you've fallen and repent and return. And that is so true, Jeremy. That repentance is changing your mind, which leads to a change of direction, doesn't it, Alex?
It really does. It really does. And I think one of the greatest incentives for revival is gratitude. Think about Jesus. Think about what he went through for us. Think about, you know, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. When you gratefully bow before Jesus and think about all that we have in Christ, you'll get revived. Amen. Think about Jesus and the debt we owe Christ, without whom we would have no hope whatsoever.
Philippians 4:8. Mark that down. Think on it. And we were talking about addiction. I would throw that in. Philippians 4:8. Think on these things. Yes. I want to tell you, you got to replace your bad thoughts with better thoughts, you know? So anyway, let's go to Virginia. Lori, thank you for calling.
Yes,
go right ahead.
God bless you both. I have a question about Psalms 51 when David is talking about towards the end. Is he referring to the Holy Spirit, or is it to Jesus Christ? And God bless you both. I enjoy your show.
Okay. Believe it or not, man, I'm enjoying this. That's what I was reading this morning in Psalms. Alex, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Do not take your spirit from me. That's in verses 11 and 12. The Spirit of God, man, that's him, isn't it?
Amen. Isn't it something? And it doesn't say restore my salvation,
thy,
but the joy of my salvation.
And
isn't
it's
that important?
And it's God's salvation, too. Thy salvation.
It is.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Well,
Psalm 51.
It is. Listen, Psalm 51 will do you good. Frank, Patty, we would have loved to have gotten to you today and talked with you. We're sorry. And let me do this real quickly. This is the last time we can do it. National Truth for Youth Week. Here's the Bible. If you can call 844-530-8890, you can get one, or you can go online at tfy.org, and it's open all weekend. TFY.org is open all weekend, so you can talk to a young person and say, can I order this for you? So you can take it to school and give it to one of your friends. Alex, praise the Lord as we had another great show on Exploring the Word, brother.
Amen. Folks, I want to thank everybody for listening. Thanks to Brent Austin and all the crew helping produce. Thank you all for listening. Hey, you can listen again at AFR.net. Be in church on Sunday. Tell somebody about AFR, but tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child.
Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.